Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the show four talented, exciting, and humorous individuals who are going to display their verbal ingenuity, their way with words and language, as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Janie Godley, and seated on my left, Richard Herring and Sue Perkins. Please welcome all four of them. And seated beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Pleasance Grand in the Pleasance Complex at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And we have a highly hyped-up Festival Fringe audience here. Yeah, they are really raring to go. So let's start the show with Sue Perkins. Yes, Sue. Oh, a very popular subject to begin with. What I love about Edinburgh. Tell us something about that. It's not funny, it's a serious subject. Something in this game, 60 seconds, starting now.
What I love about Edinburgh in August is that you can drink a bottle of Buckfast in a small, darkened room watching a post-feminist interpretation of Equus and feel you are living the dream. It is a city that aspires to the most complicated greatness that life can lay in front of you. The architecture, the extraordinary cobbled streets, the stink of hops. I hope it is that said substance. I was told that as a child and believed it. It smells more like a tramp's underarm. However, I have concurred it must be something to do with the alcoholic effluent that pumps forth from the chimneys beyond, nestling in the quaint valleys. You can see the sea. You can stare at the gorgeousness unfolding in front of you, the glittering silver of the roofs. Now...
Paul, challenge.
We did have a lot of thers.
And there was a correct challenge, Paul, so you get a point for that, of course. You take over the subject. 13 seconds are still available. What I love about Edinburgh, starting now.
It's the well-thought-out tram system, which everybody's so excited about. If you talk to any taxi drivers, they are absolutely euphoric in their praise for this magnificent...
Right, so at the end of that round, Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, so he's got 3 points at the end of the round. Richard Herring, will you begin the next round? Rather weird subject, this. Putting up a tent in the rain. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
In 1985, I was interrailing around Europe with Geoffrey Quigley, a schoolmate of mine, and we were camping and backpacking around, and when we got to...
Sue, challenge.
It was an it was a hesitation.
Yes, it was a definite there, I'm afraid.
It's harder than it looks, isn't it?
It's much harder.
Was that 45 seconds like Sue did?
No.
I think it was just about, wasn't it?
It was 10 seconds.
10
So there we are. 50 seconds are still available, Sue. Putting up a tent in the rain. Starting now.
Guy ropes are a problem. They slip away from you. You have to peg them in the ground. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Richard, you challenge.
I think that was a hesitation on the no there. I think there was a little no.
It was a very little slimy one, but if we went on though every little hesitation like that, I don't think there would be a show, Richard.
She did it to me. That's like...
Yours was a full-blown...
Yours was a full-blown pause.
No.
Sorry, Richard, no. I mean, you can try hard again next time, and I might be generous as you...
I know nothing about camping, so hold that buzzer tightly, because it's coming, I think.
Right, so, Sue, a point to you. 45 seconds, putting up a tent in the rain, starting now.
It reminds me of a family holiday on the Gower Peninsula, where we've been promised a static that didn't materialise. Not that it was of the fourth dimension and needed to do so, it's just that they hadn't booked it, so there we were on tarpaulin waiting for my dad to arrive to put the top bit on. Roof, I guess you'd call it. And there we were, the elements...
Oh, we are, Janie.
And there we were,
there
twice.
We were, that was a repetition. Well, listen, Janie. And 26 seconds available, Janie. You tell us something about putting up a tent in the rain, starting now.
I remember I went to Glastonbury and it rained so hard that I thought I was going to have to put a boat up in the rain instead. I waited and waited. Oh. If you're going to do two words, do them together is the point.
Yes.
That's where this game slips you up if you're not an experienced player of the game. Sorry, Janie, but Sue got in first. 17 seconds. Putting up a tent in the rain, Sue, starting now.
It's best done in a hurricane. Then the fun really starts. You can see the sheeting whipping around your face as you pray for more clement atmospheric conditions, which will never come. It's British summertime. Therefore, we know the sun will never be present. And putting up a tent in the rain is the only option for those who wish.
As I said before, whoever speaking when the whistle blows gets an extra point, and it was Sue Perkins on this occasion. She's now one ahead of Paul Merton, and Janie's got one. Richard's yet to score. But Janie, would you begin the next round? Looking innocent. I don't know much about this. Would you please talk on the subject, starting now?
Looking innocent is quite difficult for me because I happen to have the most guilty, cheeky, angry, difficult face possessed on one woman from Scotland.
Richard Challenge.
So there was a repetition of difficult there a bit earlier on.
Difficult, you said difficult.
Oh, did I? That's quite difficult.
Quite difficult. And you repeated difficult, I'm afraid, Janie. Yes, yes.
I'm
it's all gone very quiet
day,
in the audience. I don't know what. So, Richard, you've got in with the correct challenge. 52 seconds, looking innocent, starting now.
Looking innocent is very difficult for Janie Godley because she is a fun of person.
So challenge.
It was a full-blown error.
I'm afraid your full-blowners do creep in,
they
Richard.
Do. Right, I'll have to watch out for
but
that.
It is the first time you've played. Only mention that for any listeners at home so they know. 47 seconds, looking innocent, with you, Sue, starting now.
I've always looked innocent. I look like I've repeated that. Let me pause myself. Do I get a point? I don't know.
You challenge yourself.
I do. I challenge myself.
And what is your challenge?
My challenge is that I, well, a bit of both. I repeated I've and...
Yes, well, that was a correct challenge.
Thank you. Do I get a point?
You get a point for a correct challenge.
Do I get to continue? Within the rules, do I get to continue the subject?
But you can keep the subject, yes, because you've got...
I'll make a better job of
but
it.
But please don't make a habit of this, because it destroys the whole structure of the game.
I won't. I could see there would be a terrible floor if I would keep doing that.
44 seconds, Sue, looking innocent, starting now.
Janie Godley was skulking round the bins looking innocent. I didn't believe a word of it. I knew she'd been up to no good. That pixious visage she'd got does belie a terrible evil spirit, lurking as she does.
Janie, challenge.
Lurking.
Yeah.
Yeah, lurking.
And I don't possess an evil spirit. It's just called Scottishness.
You could have applauded louder on that one. Janie, you have 32 seconds. Tell us something more about looking innocent starting now.
A man came into my bar one day. He asked for a bottle of whiskey. Quickly, I gave...
Janie, challenge. Oh, you've done the same thing.
I never touched it. It's the evil spirit.
Well, your light came on, Janie.
Oh, sorry, I didn't. I must have just did it with, like...
Look,
well,
we're not going to make a habit of this,
thing.
But I can do what I did to Sue just then.
Sorry.
Say it was a correct challenge to give you a point.
Yeah.
All right. What's your challenge, by the way?
I've just got a twitchy finger.
No, say hesitation and I'll give you a point.
Hesitation.
Right, you've got a point. Right.
Thank you.
You keep the subject. There are 27 seconds with your no twitchy fingers right, looking innocent starting now.
There is no way anyone can look innocent than when they're handing a gun right against someone's head, which happened to me one Saturday night in the East End of Glasgow. There was music playing, there was angry people, punk rockers, bikers, strange people, the gun...
Richard Challenge.
People, repetition of people.
There are a lot of people around.
There was,
the there
was quite a lot of them.
Yes.
It was, to be fair, a very heightened situation. We should probably take that into account.
Yeah. There was a gun involved.
We were carried away. We were actually transfixed with it. We wanted to hear the payoff. Maybe you'll give it to us later. But, Richard, you had a correct challenge. You have 14 seconds still available. Looking innocent starting now.
Looking innocent is something you only do when you are guilty because people who are innocent don't look innocent. They just carry on having a normal face. So it's a thing that someone who is suspicious and has done something wrong will tend to do in this kind of way. So...
So Richard Herring was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. And at the end of the round, Paul Merton, Janie Godley and Richard Herring are all equal in second place behind Sue Perkins. Paul, will you begin the next round? The subject, the pickled onion. Tell us something about that 60 seconds are available, starting now.
You most often see pickled onions in chip shop jars. They are there in the glass, full of pickle and onion. I don't know why people pickled onions. I suppose it's preserved. Oh, well, pickled onions? I've come all the way to talk about pickled onions.
No, it's not an easy subject.
Not an easy subject, is it?
No, no.
Especially if you can't say it.
You slipped up there. Sue, you challenge first. The pickled onion, and there are 50 seconds starting now.
I love a pickled onion and also a polite egg, though you don't get so many of those in fish and chip shops recently. There's something tart, sour, inviting about biting down into one of the allium family and exploding with its vinegary goodness down your chops.
Paul challenged.
Sorry, did you say a polite egg?
She did. She said a polite egg.
A polite egg. Is it a Croydon expression for a pickled egg?
Oh, fair enough.
No. I think it's deviation, don't
you?
We all thought you meant to say pickled egg, and it came out as polite egg, which was a lovely thought, but I think it's this deviation. Paul, you have 36 seconds. The pickled onion, starting now.
Polite eggs are like complimentary chocolates. They say, how are you? Dr. Joseph Pickle looked at the onion and thought to himself...
Sue, challenge.
Repetition of pickle. He said pickled previously in the first...
Did I?
It's pickled is on the card. That's what you can't repeat.
What yeah,
he
pickle.
Said, Dr. Pickle.
You take it... Yes, and I sense I'm losing ground.
Paul, you have the 27 seconds. The pickled onion starting now.
Sarcastic Cornish pasties I won't mention, but the pickled onion was an extraordinary invention. The aforementioned medic that I mentioned before looks at the onion and said to himself, how can I preserve this magnificent piece of God's bounty? I know, I shall put it into a jar, not any ordinary container, no. This will be something... That he thought he was going to say jar again, didn't he? I said jar again. I couldn't resist the joke.
I know, you couldn't resist the gag. Yeah, you got the laugh too, you visited, but unfortunately you paused and Sue came in. What's your challenge?
A repetition of jar.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Right. The pickled onion, 4 seconds, Sue, starting now.
The jaunty...
Oh, what's your...
oh yeah, hesitation.
No.
That's the noise.
You got your move. I tell you what, because you were so clever there in the audience, you prayed for your boo and you got your boo. Yeah. Give him a bonus point.
Yeah.
So you were
these
interrupted.
Violent mood swings are very difficult to cope with. Boo! Yay!
It's a bipolar sort of vibe.
Yeah. But Sue, you were interrupted. You get a point, of course, for an incorrect challenge, and you have the pickled onion still. 3 seconds starting now.
The jolly walnut sits next to the egg.
So Sue Perkins is rushing ahead like that. She's still in the lead, ahead of Paul Merton and followed by Richard Herring and Janie Godley in the third place, equal. Sue, it's your turn to begin. Would you take this interesting subject, shabby chic, and talk about it, 60 seconds, starting now.
Shabby chic is the term used by the Sunday Times Style magazine to describe wealthy people who want to look like rough sleepers. There seems to be a bizarre trend amongst the aristocratic to wear clothes look as if they've been sourced from a bin and therefore wander about with a cravat smelling of wee. And sort of jauntily held...
So, Richard, you challenge first.
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation. Right. So, Richard, there are 38 seconds still available. You tell us something about shabby chic starting now.
I don't think I can talk about shabby chic for 38 seconds, as I know...
Sue, challenge.
He's already admitted he can't talk about it for 38 seconds.
Yeah, but he can still try.
He's deviated from commitment.
No, it's an incorrect. A lovely try. We enjoyed what you said. Not quite enough reaction to get a bonus point, but I'm afraid...
Is there enough to take... little enough to take 1 point off, Sue?
No. we don't take points away, but you get a point from being interrupted,
right,
and you keep the subject shabby chic, and there are 34 seconds starting now.
I know an awful lot about being shabby, not much about being chicful, if that is a word, which it clearly is. But in any case, I'll go around wearing that. I told you.
Yeah.
I had 5 seconds maximum.
Yeah.
You came in first, Sue, your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yeah, hesitation, repetition, deviation. Right, 25 seconds. No, I didn't mean that harshly. That was the first time he played it. It was just an instinctive reaction. I do apologise, Richard. Right. 25 seconds, Sue, on Shabby Chic, starting now.
Imagine Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen in a typhoon, and the end result is Shabby Chic. A faded Regency fop with clothes hanging in tattered folds around his midriff. All that's left of the former dandy, cut down in his prime by a freak...
Paul Chalmers.
We had dandy before.
No, he didn't say dandy.
Didn't we?
Beano, no, no. It was.
Albino, oh, yeah.
Is there a volley?
Right, so an incorrect challenge, Sue. Shabby Chic is still with you, and 10 seconds available starting now.
I'm not a fashionable person. I don't know why I've told 700 people staring at me. It's patently obvious. Look at what I'm wearing. I've never been called shabby chic or anything approximating to that.
So Sue Perkins was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased her lead. And Richard Herring, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject now, something we all know a bit about, free papers. I don't know how strongly you feel about them, but 60 seconds to talk about them starting now.
The best things in life are free. Whoever said that clearly had never read The Metro. That is a joke that I have stolen from Viz magazine, which is a periodical...
Janie Challenge.
Just a wee hesitation,
no,
Richard.
No, there was definite hesitation. It's all right. Just...
I know, but he's my friend.
51 seconds, Janie. Free papers starting now.
When you sit on a train and you see a new free paper, you sit there and you look at it and wonder to yourself, why did I say
Richard's
sit twice?
It was a mistake. I thought it was a repetition of sit, but it was sit.
I've got repetition's disease today, haven't I?
No, you didn't repeat anything, darling.
Sit. I did.
Oh, you did sit.
I
right.
did. Okay.
There's a voice in my head going, repeat, I dare you to repeat.
Richard challenged and withdrew it. That's why I thought it was wrong. Yeah. Right. 46 seconds for you, Richard, on free papers starting now.
In the capital city, we have the London Light and also another paper, which is called The Paper.
Sue.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yeah.
Hesitation, because he'd mentioned Metro.
I'm allowed to say paper, then, aren't I? Because I was
no, you can say it,
and
yes.
And you also repeat it.
Yeah, no, I don't.
But
yeah.
You repeat. Right. Don't let's have a discussion. Let's get on with it. 41 seconds available, Sue. Free papers starting now.
Whenever I think of the free papers on the tube, I also consider the millions of trees somewhere in Brazil felled to provide us with news of Peter Andre in Jordan while we're commuting to work. Whatever happened to the idea that the odd paper could be bought at a store which particularly vends said items, instead of them being thrust upon you by ne'er-do-wells who are so terrifying in their commitment to putting these free rags into your face. I don't like them simply because there is no news in said newspapers. It's merely a chain of adverts and a picture of a kitten. Much as I love cats, they're very cute. I don't necessarily want to see them every single morning.
So Sue Perkins was again speaking as the whistle went and got that extra point and has increased her lead ahead of Paul Merton, Richard Herring and Janie Godley in that order. And Janie,
can
will
my
you...
subject just be repetition? just I get to say the word cacophony over and over again, and then if I actually inadvertently break away through repeating, that's when I get a point.
Well, if the subject is cacophony, that's better than repetition.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, and over and over is also repetition.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
right, so... Janie, there's a nice subject for you. Mum's the word. 60 seconds, starting now.
A man once put something into my hand, winked and said, "Mum's the word." I looked down. It was a hot sausage supper, which is normal in Glasgow, a difference from a deep-fried Mars bar. Taking this item, I ran all the way down the street, met a small monkey, passed him the item and said, "Mum's the word." He then pitched himself onto a bus, ran really fast, climbed up a mountain and took the said hot sausage.
Oh, right. Richard challenged.
It's just deviation from the real world, is that happening here?
Yes, it was. But I got so far without repeating something. I was happy.
But Richard, you know, you can go into the world of fantasy on this show. Some of them do quite
frequently.
At
the end of the whole thing, he passes it to his mum and he says,
"No, wait a minute,
mum,
save it." Save it, because I'm not going to allow the challenge. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Perfect.
Because I love it when we go into the world of fantasy. Right, and Mum's the Word still with you, Janie, and 35 seconds starting now.
Opening a purse, I saw some cash in it. I quickly put it in my pocket, winked at myself and said, Mum's the Word. At that moment, I heard a scream and a skull sandal flying towards me. It was, in fact, my mother who could hear items of hers being opened from a far, far distance. And I did it again!
That is one of the sort of problems.
And it was a good story.
Yeah, it was a good story.
But it was far, far...
What happened to the monkey?
It's very sad. I don't want to tell you.
OK.
How fast did it run?
Richard, a correct challenge. far. Definite repetition. Mum's the Word's with you, Richard, and you have 18 seconds starting now.
My mum was doing a crossword puzzle and said to me, the clue is mother.
Sue, challenge.
Hesitation.
I'm afraid there was. So you have Mum's the Word, Sue, and you have 13 seconds starting now.
Mum is the word if the question is who's going to do my laundry when I've come home after 20 years smelling. And she's there to provide every single facility that one could wish. It's the best word in the world. The person who brings you into...
So Sue was again speaking as the whistle went, got an extra point and has increased her lead at the end of the round. Paul Merton, we're back with you. Would you begin the next round? The subject is a skeleton in the cupboard. 60 seconds. You've just written it down, have you? Right?
Yep.
A skeleton in the cupboard, 60 seconds, starting now.
My favourite ride at the fun fair was the ghost train. I particularly enjoyed getting on the little thing that goes round and seeing suddenly a cupboard in front of you and a skeleton come whirring out at you. And I always used to have nightmares about this particular form of entertainment. A skeleton in a cupboard. I wonder how many of us here actually do possess such a thing at home. Is there a mass murderer sitting amongst us now who maybe had a polite egg too many once and went out on a murder to a spree and started collecting these victims from here, there and everywhere? A skeleton in the cupboard, some dark secret that looms in our past, that if it was to become generally known, people would be astonished and hurt. They would say, I thought this was a proper show. I thought this was just an...
Oh.
That's all right. No, it's fair.
Right.
He did say, I thought twice, and I'm so glad I have somebody that repeats as much as me.
But that was wonderful, Paul. We went for, 17 from 60? That's... 43, yeah.
Used to be in the old days, didn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember before we had horses? Do you remember? Do you remember before we had horses, Nicholas?
Oh, you are wicked. Right, so, Janie, you had a correct challenge. Yes, he did repeat something, and that's 17 seconds. 17 seconds on a skeleton in the cupboard, starting now.
A skeleton in the cupboard is more frightening than having a gun fall out of a cupboard, which once happened to me a long time ago. I never thought that it would happen, but it did.
Oh, so challenge.
Hesitation. But I do that with regret because a lot of guns are coming towards Janie. That's the second gun today. Out of a cupboard, from a man, in her face... She's all over that. She's a walking crime statistic.
CSI Godly.
Yeah.
Your challenge is hesitation.
Hesitation. Yeah.
No, she didn't hesitate.
She repeated but, happen.
No, but you didn't. That wasn't your first challenge.
You are a silver fox, messing.
That she did repeat happen, but you challenged. Your first challenge was hesitation, which was incorrect. So benefit of the doubt goes to Janie, and she still has the subject. 9 seconds. A skeleton in the cupboard, Janie, starting now.
A skeleton in the cupboard is much better than ever having a blancmange fall out of a cupboard.
Poor challenge.
Did we have much better before?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
You did.
But I'm keeping in the theme of repetition.
Oh, I see. It's going very well.
It is. I'm pleased. I'm pleased as pleased with it.
So, Paul, repetition, you have a correct challenge. 5 seconds still available. A skeleton in the cupboard starting now.
Next to the tea caddy, there was a skull. Its eye socket there. Oh, I've said there 3 times.
You were lucky that your drawing attention to your repetition came after the whistle. So, Paul, you were actually speaking as the whistle went. Gained an extra point for doing so. And you have leapt forward. You're still in second place, but you've leapt. So let me give you the scores. We go into the final round. Richard Herring and Janie Godley are equal in third place. They're 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's quite a few points behind Sue Perkins, who's still in the lead. And Sue, actually, it's your turn to begin again. And the subject we've got here is applying makeup. You have 60 seconds, starting now.
As the audience can see, I apply makeup only in the dark with a trowel and strimmer. That has suited me for years and provides the look I have made entirely my own. The mahogany cheeks akin to Aunt Sally in the famous children's show Wurzel Gummidge. The eyes decked with mascara as if a million spiders have lazily walked across my eyeballs. How delightful I look at night, when the cold, harsh lamps illuminate the strange, stretchy face that's been daubed with makeup. Because I don't understand it. It's not a world I recognise. I know women are supposed to and everything and be shabby and chic at the same time. Nonetheless, I require something more of my life than the application of tawdry cosmetics often tested on poor animals. For me, it's a life of the mind. Why paint, decorate the entire time when you can read a book and find about the entire vista of you?
Well, what a way to bring the show to an end. Sue started with the subject, finished with the subject, didn't hesitate, repeat anything or deviate. And you got only not a point for speaker as a whistle went, and your effort only gets you one extra point for not being interrupted. But let me... Well, actually, I could give her 5 extra points because it wouldn't make any difference to the final score. But let me give you the final situation. Richard Herring and Janie Godley. Richard hasn't played before. Janie has a bit. They finish up in third place, equal, but a very, very credible third place. It was really... Paul Merton, who often wipes the floor with others and comes out on top, but he came up in a very strong second place. He was only just ahead of Richard and Janie. But out in a very strong lead, as you can imagine, and with that great flourish at the end, it was Sue Perkins. So, Sue, you are the winner this week. So, it only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Janie Godley, Richard Herring and Sue Perkins. I also thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She kept blowing her whistle beautifully after the 60 seconds had elapsed. We are grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're also grateful to this lovely audience here at the Festival Fringe, who've cheered us on our way in true Festival Fringe manner. So from our lovely audience and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, thank you very much. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!